If you'll stand with me as we read from Galatians 4, 17 through 20. Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I'm with you. And this is the big verse. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change your tone, because I am perplexed about you. Be seated. Over the next few weeks, a couple months, we are going to be in the book of Galatians. I don't know how many have ever read the book of Galatians all the way through. It's six chapters, so it's not very long. It's also one of Paul's first books. It's one of his first letters that he wrote to the churches. And hopefully during these 2 months, you'll take the time, you'll sit down, you'll read it. Read it a couple times through. Galatians has become one of my more favorite books of Scripture, and actually one of my favorite Pauline letters. Really, I think, because when you read it, you will see this passion, this fieriness of Paul come through as he's writing to these communities in Galatia, as he's attempting to wake them up, as he's attempting to speak about this gospel that he holds so near, as he will say, the gospel in which you came to life. And so Paul is working with this group. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what Paul is saying to these churches in Galatia. And what I think we're going to see Paul is saying is that what they're believing in and what they're thinking is going to shape them, or is not actually what's going to shape them. But what's actually going to shape them is the Holy Spirit. And Paul's trying to get them to see that it's this, the reshaping process doesn't come from any of our power, but from the power of the Holy Spirit, from the gospel message that you listen to in Christ and were accepted to in Christ and have experienced in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the reshaping in our lives, which got me to thinking about these metaphors that we see throughout Scripture. Metaphors like the poet says in Isaiah 64:8, yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. The next time we see it is in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, we see the prophet in chapter 18 give us this imagery that Israel is the clay on the potter's wheel. And though Israel has done some things it's not supposed to do, and it's marred and it's scarred, the potter still has the power to reshape the clay. The power of reshaping comes through the potter's hands. And we begin to see this imagery of potter and clay. And we've talked about it. We've talked about how our Father, God, is the potter, and we are the clay. And it's God who molds and shapes us. But if we're really honest and we think about it, that's kind of a difficult thing for us to think about, because it means us giving up something. In a lot of ways, it means us giving up control. It means that we're going to trust in something other than ourselves, which is really hard for us to do, because we like to trust ourselves. We like to think that we're in control. We like to think that we know what we're doing. But we see that that's not the case for those who believe in Jesus and begin to live this life in Jesus. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10, he says, these are the things God has revealed to us by not our knowledge, but by what? The Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received, did you catch that? What we have received, the Spirit of God, is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human knowledge, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And then Paul ends with this sentence, but we have the mind of Christ. So this Spirit that comes from God now rests inside of us, giving us the ability to connect with God in ways and giving us to slowly understand the will of God in our life. For we have the mind of Christ. And what we see is this is the spiritual life. This is the pushing and the pulling. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. This spiritual life means immaturity at times. It also will mean maturity at times. All of these things are held in the tension of life as we are being shaped into the image of Jesus. We're becoming like Jesus. And what's interesting is nowhere in Scripture do we find that this is easy. Now, it doesn't mean we want to find easy ways out of it. And as we're going to look, as we begin to look at Galatians, we're going to see that the Galatians were starting to get messages that made life a little bit easier. They gave them, it was almost like a how-to thing. But what we really see in Scripture is the spiritual life, this of us entering into the life of Jesus is not easy. There's difficulties there. And I think this is one of the harder lessons for all of us, especially for those new in faith, but I believe also for those of us who have been in faith for a long time. Because when we enter into this journey with Jesus, we realize that it's going to take new growth. And with any kind of growth, there's vulnerability. With any kind of growth, there's pains. Who in here remembers as you were growing up and your joints would hurt a little bit, your knees would hurt, your ankles were hurt? And I'd forgotten. It's amazing how you can forget about it as you get older, until Anna Lee the other night was complaining that her knees were hurting so bad. She was just laying on the couch like in this weird L position with legs up. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And she's like, my knees hurt so bad. And me being ever the bad dad said, well, you know, suck it up, honey. And she just looks at me and she's like, did you just seriously say that to me? And I'm like, yeah. And she kind of walks out of the room and Laurie's like, you can't say that to her. These are growing pains she's going through. And so 2 days later, she gets up next to Laurie and they measure. And she's like, Mom said it was growing pains. I think I growed an inch. Now I'm taller than her. But I mean, we kind of forget that with new growth comes pain. New growth comes being uncomfortable and this kind of difficulty here. And we forget about that, especially as we get older. We kind of forget that growth takes time. And we also forget that we as Christians who've been in it for a while aren't quite there yet. We're still doing our own growing. We're still trying to figure this out as well. And what Paul will say in Galatians is that when we follow this gospel, we're giving up control. We're giving power to the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, for the Holy Spirit to help us grow, for the Holy Spirit to work in us and reshape in us and transform us into something new. And it can't be on our power, but it's on the Holy Spirit's power. And when we think about that, we think, well, that sounds easy, right? It's going to be the Holy Spirit that does it. But in the words of the famous college football analyst Lee Corso, anybody know who that guy is? Lee Corso. And he says, not so fast, my friend, because all of this is not easy. We forget that it's not easy. Why is it not easy? Because we are being bombarded, as we will talk next week, we are being bombarded with so many messages in life that tell us there are so many ways to live, that tell us we can do it on our own, that tell us we are in control, that tell us if we do this and if we do that, then we will have life figured out. That if we do certain things, we will be better Christians. And then we try to do them and we fall and we realize how hard it is. Why? Because spiritual growth is hard. It takes work, and it takes us giving up control and giving ourselves over to God. It takes us truly living into our baptism of death, burial, and resurrection. We're dying to ourselves and into something new. And in the book of Galatians, we see that. We see, as Paul is writing this letter, that something is going on in this territory of Galatia, the central area of Asia Minor, in which we have an idea that Paul probably set up shop here for a little while, put some churches together, did what Paul does, goes in, kind of brings in new converts, sets up a community, and then goes on to his next place, leaving this community here. Well, we have this idea that in Galatians, Paul has done that, but now he's getting word that another group of people have shown up on the scene, and they're looking at this group of Galatians, and they're checking them out, and they're saying, something doesn't line up here. In fact, there's a better way of doing this, and we're pretty sure that this group that's come in are Jewish Christians. Okay, so they're Christians, they're also Jewish, they came from a Jewish heritage. Now, the difference between this group and the Galatians are Gentile Christians. So, Gentile, Jew, that whole thing, they had two different cultural identities, two different ideas of who they are. But what Paul is getting word of is that these Jewish Christians are now coming in, and they're telling the Gentile Christians, well, it's great you've been saved by Jesus. That's never the issue. It's great you've been saved by Jesus. But if you want to get spiritual growth, if you want spiritual formation, then what you have to do is you need to be circumcised. So we're going to see circumcision in here. You need to keep the Sabbath. And you need to follow the Torah. So if you do these things, then you will be better Christians. You will become more mature Christians. And what the Jewish Christians were coming to them and saying is this: spiritual life, being in the life of Jesus, is about right behaviors. It's about doing the right thing. So it's about being circumcised. So what they're doing is, if you look mature on the outside, then you'll become mature on the inside. If you do these certain things, then you will just, it's almost one of those, you'll look better, you'll look good, people will see you and it'll make sense. And what we see, and Paul is getting upset about, is this, is that they're not letting the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God needs to do in the life of the believers in Galatia. Instead, they're saying, all you have to do is A, B, and C. You can do these quick fixes. And if you do these quick fixes, then we'll all be better. And what Paul steps into is and he likens this model of spiritual growth. That says if you do these right behaviors, you'll get it right. He likens it to, in Galatians 5:1, a yoke being placed upon them. And says, why would you place a yoke upon them? We're going to talk about this later, when there's freedom in Christ. There's freedom to give yourself up to Jesus and let Jesus do what Jesus is going to do, the Spirit of God do in your life. Instead, you're telling them that they have to follow these set of rules. And if they follow these set of rules, then they will be better Christians. They will become more perfect. And Paul is getting to the point of saying, we've been there and tried that as Jews. Of all things, we know better than that. But that's what they're saying, and it's come to this, and this was a big thing for me, and a professor opened my eyes to it as we read it, but this was his comment about it. He would say this: maturity does not come through behavior based on rules, but through a process of allowing ourselves to be shaped into the image of Christ. Not through rules, mind you, but through being shaped into the image of God, allowing ourselves to be shaped, which becomes a little bit harder, because if we do that, then there's another thing that comes up, and that is this, that immature Christians need to be allowed to be immature. Immature Christians need to be allowed to be immature. This is really hard for us, especially those of us who are parents. who don't want our kids to be immature, and somehow over the years we forgot that we were once immature as well, and the reason we're here today is because we had to go through our immaturity to get here. And Paul's looking at this as the Jewish Christians have walked into Galatia and are trying and are looking at him and going, no, y'all don't look like anything that, like, you look like a bunch of people who are immature. And Paul's like, exactly, that's the point. They don't go from A to Z overnight. A to Z takes time. It's a process. And they can do all that they can try to do. We can put all the rules in place, and it's still not going to go at the heart of what God's trying to do, and that is formation of the spirit. That is reshaping of the heart. God is going for the heart and not the mind, because if you can get the heart, then you can change everything. And Paul knows this, and he's looking at these Gentile Christians in Galatia and saying, what are you doing worrying about circumcision? What are you doing worrying about Sabbath? What are you doing worrying about Torah? No. It's about letting the Spirit of God in you do the work that it needs to do. And this was also hard for Jewish Christians, because what this meant was that the Gentile Christians were not going to look like them. They weren't going to be exactly like them. They were going to be different in their own ways. And this is part of when we have kids, and we have our kids, and they're growing up, and they look a little different than us, because they have their own personality, they have their own ways, they have their own, you know, unique quirks. And as they grow up in their own ways, and we as parents walk beside them and hope and help them and guide them, but also know that they're going to be their own person. And Paul in this is trying to get these Jewish Christians, but also the Gentile Christians, to realize you're going to be your own person. Paul's argument to the Galatians is that it is not rules that will shape a person to becoming like Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit, which now dwells inside of them. It is trusting God in the process of spiritual formation, that there will be ups and downs in spiritual formation. There will be ups and downs in the life of Jesus. And it is Jesus, through the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we are transformed. It's the Spirit of God that reshapes us. Nothing we can do will get us to complete spiritual maturity. If we try to do it on our own and in our own power, following a few rules, we'll never get there, is what Paul is saying. But what Paul is saying is this, that the experience of trusting God always leads to thorough reshaping of the believer. What Paul will call in chapter 6, new creation. That the experience of trusting God, and again, this goes against a lot of who we are, but there's this big thing in the theme of Galatians that says you have to be able to trust that this gospel that you decided to say yes to has the power to reshape you. Can you trust that God is doing the work that God needs to do in you? Can you trust that God's promises are true and real and will do the very work that it needs to do? He is saying to them in this moment, as we read in chapter 4, he is saying to them in this moment then, my dear children, for who I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now, did you get that? I've always said this. It takes a lot of gumption for a man to talk about childbirth and then talk about the pains of childbirth when a man's never gone through the pains of childbirth. But notice what Paul says here. I am willing to walk with you even in the pains of childbirth. This is how difficult this formation of Jesus in you will be. It will be like childbirth. But Paul says, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to walk with you because my hope, the end goal, is that Christ is formed in you. And notice, what's interesting is it's not this rules idea. It's that it is a growth idea. It is a formation idea. It is a reshaping idea. And it's not us being both potter and clay, which I think a lot of us like to be is both potter and clay. It's about coming to the realization that God is in control and God is the potter and we are the clay. And as we look at each other in our lives, as we look at each other in here today, there is a realization we have to come to that each one of us is clay, and I am not Ron's potter as much as I think I should be. I am not the one who can form Ron. I can walk alongside of Ron, and which I hope he does with me. But in doing so, as I walk alongside of Ron, I'll come to realize that I'm not completely shaped the way I should be as well, right? And realize maybe that I've got control issues that I need to give up. And as we look at our teenagers, we realize as much as we want to be their potters, we have to trust that the ultimate potter is working in their life today. That it's, Justin can walk with them, and Justin can come into my office, and I go, I hear you, brother. But, and we can do the best that we can, but when it push comes to shove, it comes to us believing that Jesus is who Jesus is, that Paul, when he says that we've been given the mind of Christ, that Jesus is working in each of our kids and teenagers' lives to make them into who God wants them to become. It's why I like this image that Christian created for me. It's kind of abstract, but the reason that is because we're all different. You notice that? We're not all the same. Now, if we're a rules-based idea and behaviors, then we think we should all be like each other. The Jewish Christians are hoping the Gentile Christians become just like them. The difficulty was, as Paul's saying, that's not how it works. God's going to form in your life something different than in my life. It's going to look different. But the beauty of it all is what the manifestations will be is Galatians chapter 5, in which he says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's how we see that God is working, right? When those start to come out. Now, it's going to look different. It's going to be shaped different. But that's the good news, as Paul is saying. In Christ, there is room for all of us to be different. In Christ, there is room for us to be who we are in Jesus. So the good news of all this is I do not have to be your potter. And by the way, you don't have to be mine. But when we come to the realization that we're all clay and we're in this together and we're trying to figure it out together, then what we get is partnerships. What we get is people who walk next to us and are in our lives and are not trying to control us, are not trying to form us in a certain way, but are just walking with us, at times celebrating when God does something big, and at other times being there when we fall flat on our face. But we also have to have the trust that God is doing what God does. I want to close with this. Anybody know who Flannery O'Connor is? Flannery O'Connor is was a Southern author, and she's phenomenal. Jamie, you know Flannery O'Connor. I've got this partly for you. But Flannery, she was a Southern author. She died in the 40s, 50s, somewhere in there. But she wrote these short stories. And she wrote this short story, and this short story is called this, A Temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want to leave you with this, is that Paul, I think, in the end, is trying to get us to realize that we're all temples of the Holy Ghost. So what if we were to look at each other, temples of the Holy Ghost? That we have the Holy Spirit, I like the Holy Ghost, it sounds cool, doesn't it? The Holy Ghost inside of you. And if we begin to trust that in each one of us, the Holy Ghost is at work, even at times when we're like, I'm not so sure the Holy Ghost is working here, but just believe that it is. Well, Flannery O'Connor, she writes this short story called A Temple of the Holy Ghost, and in it, she writes about a young woman coming to terms with the many different types of people in her community, and it's a small Southern community. And in doing so, she comes to the realization, because this little girl, she starts looking at the different people in her life. So these uppity twin girls who are living with them, and she's like, well, they've got all these issues. And then she looks at one of the workers in the farm, and she's like, well, they've got issues. And she begins to see all their imperfections. But she comes to realize in this phrase, they're a temple of the Holy Ghost. But the most interesting moment in this whole story is this. She's dreaming. And what she's dreaming of is a couple of her friends went to the county fair. And at the county fair, or if you've ever been to a fair, they had those little sideshow booths that you can go in, you know, the hairy man, all that stuff, people with horns, anyway, those kind of things. Well, they called them freaks. And so she's going through this, and she has this dream. And she's dreaming of the freak at the county fair. And as she's dreaming of the freak of the county fair, this is what her dream sounds like. She could hear the freak saying, "God made me this way, and I don't dispute it." And she could hear the people saying, "Amen, amen. God done this to me, and I praise him. Amen, amen. He can strike you this way. Amen. But he has not. Amen. Raise yourself up, a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost, don't you know? Don't you know God's Spirit has a dwelling in you? Don't you know?" Amen. Amen. "If anybody desecrates the temple of God, God will bring him to ruin. And if you laugh, he may strike you this way. A temple of the Holy Ghost is a God thing. It's a holy thing." Amen. Amen. And then the little girl thinks to herself, "I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, is trying to get the Jewish Christians who've come in and kind of made a ruin of things realize that the Gentile Christians, who are a little different than them, are what? A temple of the Holy Ghost. And that the Jewish Christians, who look different than the Gentile Christians, are what? A temple of the Holy Ghost. And so while each one of us may look different, each one of us may try to get there in different ways, and some of us may take a little longer than others, we're all temples of the Holy Ghost. And if we could come to that realization, that we're all temples of the Holy Ghost, and we're all sitting in here today, then maybe I don't have to be your potter. Maybe I can let God do that work. But what I can do is let you walk beside me and help me when I fall. And by the way, don't beat me up when I fall. People get beat up enough in this world. And realize that if someone comes in looking different than me, and I don't like the way they look, but if I begin to look at them as they're the temple of the Holy Ghost, maybe that'll change the way I talk to them. Maybe it'll change the way I try to shape them in my own image instead of letting God do what God needs to do. And when my kids drive me crazy, maybe I can remember that they're in the hands of the Father. And I can pray to the Father that the potter does his work, because we're all temples of the Holy Ghost. And the letter of Galatians is trying to get us to realize that we're all temples of the Holy Ghost. Now, it still doesn't mean it's easy. There's a lot of noise out there that tells us otherwise. But today, know this. Like the freak in the story, you're a temple of the Holy Ghost as well. So live into that. Live into that with one another. Hopefully that reframes the relationships that you have. Hopefully that changes the way you look at one another. And maybe some of you are trying to figure out what this Holy Ghost is. It sounds weird. Maybe you haven't had experience with it. You haven't had a relationship with it. You'd like to have a relationship with it. Well, we'll have elders down front, people who will take and listen to your story and pray with you. And the waters of baptism are always open, because in the end, that's what Paul says. You want to know what the one initiation is into this life? It is the waters of baptism. That's it. The other stuff is just noise. It's inviting yourself into this spiritual life. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.